All right. Well, for the guests here and for those that are members here, just a little bit more. We have seven pillars. I felt like as I was in Cambodia, the Lord just started speaking to me about seven pillars, and I got that scripture out of Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. Excuse me. Where it talks about the wise woman. She builds her house this way. And you have to have pillars that really uphold the structure. At our house in Hereford, Texas, before we moved to Dallas, Texas, we had a beautiful Victorian, 3,100 square foot Victorian home. And it had pillars that held up the roof, of course. But, you know, they started eroding at the bottom. And the staircase kind of started caving in. And I had a good friend as we were getting ready to sell it. And he came over and he built it and propped it up. And we painted it and it looked good. You know, putting the Word of God in us, because our pillars, our first one that we talked about for 3 weeks or 4 weeks was prayer. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be a disciple in this house, I really believe even if you go to Village Church or wherever you go, we all need to be people of prayer. God even said in His Word, He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." That's God saying that, and there really ought to be a strong pillar in all of our lives. The very DNA of our lives ought to be in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer, and if He had to do that and be that, and He was the Son of God, how much more do I need to make sure that I'm taking time to pray and hear what God is saying and everything? So that's our first pillar, if you will. So back to our second pillar, the Word. As the Word starts getting established in it, just like my pillars, our pillars back at Hereford, there's erosion that tries to come in. The enemy tries to bring that erosion. He tries to tell you that God's not faithful because you've waited 10 days or 10 years for a prayer to come forth. And all of a sudden, man, that erosion starts taking over. And the only way that you stop that erosion, and number one, it shouldn't take us 10 years to stop it. We've got to be in the Word every day. Again, and I say this over and over, Barna's latest report is that the people, and we say that we're 78% Christian nation, but we, in that same report, that 78% say that they pray 5 minutes a day and they're in the Word 5 minutes a day. Well, no wonder our society is eroding, because as believers, we ought to be living and eating the Word up every day. And again, I'm not trying to put any condemnation on you, but I really believe as believers, we ought to be in the prayer and the Word 1 hour a day. 1 hour in the Word and 1 hour in prayer. Now, I know for some of us who have little babies, it's different in different things. For C and I, as our kids have grown up, we really ought to be spending more time with the Lord than even that. There has to be something that so captures our heart and captivates our heart and captures and captivates our emotions that we want to spend time with Him. And if we get a revelation of how big and great God is, we might just end up being like Jesus, where He missed some nights of sleep to be with the Father. And because the strategies that were coming from heaven into this man's heart for his disciples and everything was amazing. So I want to just kind of throw out a couple of things about the Word tonight. I'm going to turn this air conditioner off for a moment because I know it's loud, and hopefully you won't get too hot. I promise you I won't go more than 2 or 3 hours. Just kidding. I know some of you are tired. You've had a long day, but I really feel like the Lord wants to awaken our heart. You know, you need to have two different Bibles, in my opinion, that you read. The two that I go off of is New Living Translation. There ought to be a Bible that you're reading is in the English language that we're used to today. I love the NLT. Yours may be different. It may be NIV. But just like today, I would read a chapter out of this, and then I would turn to my New King James Version. I love the Spirit-filled Bible of the New King James Version because, number one, it also has different Hebrews and Greek words in it. Jack Hayford, men of God that I really, really respect, of integrity men, made the different commentaries in there. And I love their insight. And again, I believe they're very integritous men. So I will read it because it'll read different. This will read with so much easier English for us today of what we understand. But this one will have deeper commentaries. And then that's what I want to talk about tonight. There needs to be a time that where I'm reading, and sometimes I'll read 10, 12, 14 chapters a day, and I won't open up a single commentary. But then there'll be a day that I'll read one paragraph, and I dissect the different words that the Holy Spirit enlightens me to open them up. And that's what I want to encourage you, that when you read the Bible, you listen to the Holy Spirit of what He tells you to read. And then you let Him mark a word that you go, wow, what's in this word that I need to look up? For example, and then the different things that I do, I'm old school. I don't do the computer near as much as some of the youngers, but here's a great Smith's Bible Dictionary. It'll tell you about every word, the background of a city, and every city that's mentioned in the Bible. And it's not as big as some dictionaries, but I like it because I can take it anywhere I go. I can get deeper reading on it. And then this book here that I'm going to read a few things out of it is a theological dictionary of the New Testament. Every Greek word is in here, and it really opens it up greater and greater. We invest a lot in Starbucks coffee and everything, and I love Starbucks coffee. I invest in Starbucks. I wish that I'd bought stock in it years ago. But I also invest in stuff that gets the Word of God richer into my life. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. James Rye was over at Sojourn years ago when we were there as a pastor, and he had a program called eSword. I put that on my computer and used it for years, and then my computer busted, and I never went back and downloaded a new version on it. But it's even very, very good, James Rye's eSword. I encourage you to get stuff. If you do computer, get it on apps. There's almost every app that you can get it on. Get stuff there that you can literally meditate and digest a word that's in the Bible and let it come alive. And I'm hopefully going to really expound on that. And then the Strong Concordance, that is the oldest in my opinion, but one of the greatest and most faithful. As you read a word in the Bible, you turn to the actual reading of that word. How many know how to use a Strong Concordance? How many don't know how to use a Strong Concordance? We got one, two, three. That's okay. That's okay. That's good. Four. Okay. Well, I can show it to you better even afterwards, but say you come to John 3:16 and you want to look up the word love, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. And so you go and you look at it, and it shows you exactly what Greek word it is, and it'll give you a number off to the side, because the word our English language is shallow compared to the Greek and the Hebrew in that day and time. The word love actually had four meanings in their time. It had the erotic, it had the eros, and it had the phileo, and it had the agape love. So when you read the word love in the Bible, you've got to really go and see which word is that word love actually used. And so that's the reason I encourage you. I've had this Strong's Concordance forever, so I don't even know how much they cost. But I encourage you to save some money up, buy it for one another at Christmas time, whatever you have to do, so that the Word of God becomes more and more rich to you. And then you have the Holy Spirit who just opens up the Word to you in an incredible way. So here's just some words I want to talk about. And the different Bible readings, I hope you get into that and really listen to the Lord of what He wants you to do. In John 3:16, it talks about how God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so one day as I was reading that, of course, I'd always looked up the word love. I feel like the Lord highlights the word gave. So I go and look, and it's the Strong's Concordance number 1325 as you dig off into that. And it starts saying that one of the word meanings is adventure. Well, all of a sudden, man, to me, it starts opening up this great word of adventure. Now, I think that Jesus lived the most adventurous life ever to live. So then I start looking at the different times that it's used in there. And the word give to the woman at the well is the same Strong Concordance word, 1325. So Jesus comes to a woman at the well. He's already living an adventurous life. And He says, I have water to give you that you'll never thirst again. So all of a sudden, his adventurous life that the Father has put in him, he goes to this woman at the well, and he offers her this adventurous life. Now, what does she do with this? She takes that same word, that same spirit, and she takes it to her village. And she offers them an adventurous life. See, when we read that word gave, I don't know what you think of, but I never thought of it of adventure. Did you think of it as an adventure? No way. But you see, that's the reason the Word of God is so rich. And when we get to pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 over us, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of who you are. Enlighten my heart. Open up the eyes of my heart and give me understanding of the hope of your calling on my life. Guess what he'll do? He'll answer that prayer. So all of a sudden, I started looking at the different words in the Bible that goes with this Strong's 1325. When Peter and John are on the way to get to the synagogue to pray, Jesus loves to interrupt us about we're on our way to our religious duty. We'll pass people that are hurting and sick all the time. And this man says, you know, can you guys help me out? He's standing there, He's lame. He's sitting there on the cot. And he goes, can you give me some offering money? And Peter goes, silver and gold I don't have, but what I give you. In other words, it's the adventure opportunity again. And this guy's 40 years old, the scripture says. And Jesus, Peter and John offer him this adventurous life. Now think about how his life changed, just like the woman at the well. He goes totally healed within just a moment or two. And all of a sudden, he goes running and leaping and praising God in the synagogue. Now, his life became into part of that kingdom adventurous life. He gets to be part of seeing 5,000 men, possibly 10,000 people get saved in a moment's time. Now, see, if we don't take time to read the Bible. And again, I told you that sometimes I may read 12, 15 chapters a day. I don't ever open up a commentary, but I guarantee you two or three times a week, I'm opening up commentaries of these things I just showed you so that I get a deeper understanding of what the different words mean. And now, as I've opened that part up of the word give and gave, and literally I preached an entire series in this past December about that word give and gave. It's an opportunity for an adventure. When we give our money on Sunday morning or all those different things, as you're giving the money, it's an opportunity for an adventure. And so this is the reason I believe that the Word of God must become a huge passion in our lives once again. And I'm not talking about doing it like I used to do school just to get by. You know, I had a good memory, so I'm just going to get a C+. I thought C+ was a great grade. Let me keep playing athletics and everything, you know, back in the day. But I encourage you that you would get hungry for the Word of God. And you'd get hungry to open up the commentaries. You'd get hungry to open up and let the Holy Spirit breathe upon what the different words mean. Amen. In the different scriptures, there's like four or five different strong words of the word give and gave. One is 1781, one is 2010, one that 1781 you can find in John 14:31, and it just means counsel. And that's the reason I give you these examples so that you will realize those simple words of give and gave can have several different definitions in New Testament alone. This is just New Testament. And that's the reason when we read the Bible, we just kind of go on through it and we're missing the deep nuggets. We're just satisfied for milk. As it says in Hebrews, you ought to be to the point that you're eating meat now, but you're still drinking milk. And I so want to teach you meat things. This is what Paul, wrote Hebrews. I so want to give you meat, but I got to keep giving you milk. And this is what the scripture goes on and says. Because you want to stay on milk, You're unskilled in the Word of God. In fact, you have a hard time discerning between good and evil. I think it's part of the reason of what's wrong with our nation. Many of us as believers want to stay on milk, and it's time for the meat. Amen? All right, I can tell you're really excited about that. Okay, let's go on and talk about love. In John 21, Jesus comes to Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? And that's the reason it's important. I used to have an English and Greek lexicon so that you could look at the different words and the different things of that nature. That's the reason, really, there's no reason that all of us as Christians can't know as much as the pastor that preaches on Sunday. It's just that we're kind of lazy. Kinda. Or maybe real lazy. Because we really should. Because there are so many things out for us to take time to read and know the different meanings of the Hebrew and Greek words. So Jesus comes up to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? The word that Jesus is using is the word agape. What's amazing about this word agape, one of the words that it describes, not only unconditional, we hear that all the time, but I love this even better, love feast. That's what agape means. Love feast. See, we have a love feast up here, and I see the American church. We really get in tune with God in worship, and I love that. But it's time that we get in tune with Him with the Word and prayer. He wants to pour a love feast on us all the time. What He was coming and asking Peter, when you look up the true meaning of agape, Peter, do you want to have a love feast with me? And Peter responds back to, and I encourage you to get this stuff that I'm telling you, you'll see it. He responds back with the word phileo, which is Strong's 5368 of the New Testament. Jesus is offering love feast. Peter responds back fondly, friend, affectionately. That's where we get the word Philadelphia, brotherly love. Phileo means brotherly love. Jesus offers us love feast every day, and we're responding back with brotherly love. Could you imagine just this little people, this group of people right here, if we took that acceptance of a love feast, we would turn the world upside down in all of our different worlds. See, that's what happened in the upper room. This 120 for three and a half years didn't get it. They didn't realize that Jesus was offering them a love feast. I don't know about you. I love that love feast. Can you really get the mind picture in that and a heart picture in that? He offers us a love feast. But yet we respond back with a lukewarmness, brotherly love. In the upper room, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, manifests the kingdom of God. And 120 people get filled up with a love feast. You see, when we get this kind of love, now think about what phileo love was. It's only 8:30 and I promise you I'll go quick. Because I know some of you are tired. I understand yawning. I really do. I understand many of you have had a long day. You got little kids. Totally get it. It's the reason I want to go quick. But the brotherly love, that phileo love, they ran like cowards when Jesus was being crucified. The reason most of us won't share our faith, if we really get down honest with it, most of us have the revelation of a brotherly love, fond love affair. Think about what happened in the upper room. They got filled up with a love feast. And the very people, these are the same people, the same town that they ran from 50 days earlier. They're now ready to go down there and tell them about Jesus. We need agape love once again that the Holy Spirit breathes into us every day. And it's a love feast. And nobody could keep us silent. That's the reason these guys were so full of love feast. that when they told them to quit preaching about Jesus a few chapters into Acts, they said, man, we're so in love, talking about agape, we're in love with this love feast, Jesus. Are we to obey you or do we obey God? If you find yourself timid, fearful, walking in rejection, you don't have a great enough revelation of this love feast that the Holy Spirit wants to blow into your life. See, that's the reason we got to get these books. We got to get this stuff. And we got to go, wow, love feast. Love feast. I don't have that revelation. And we'd want to read the word. It would cause us to read. You wouldn't read it because I'm badgering you. You'd read it because you're in love with Jesus. You wouldn't read it because the pastor that you go to that church and he's badgering you. You'd read it because, wow, I've been blown away by this incredible love. Amen? So this goes on twice. Jesus asking Peter, do you want a love feast? Do you have a love feast for me? Peter responds back again. Jesus asks him again. You see, also, you'll never be able to feed sheep very good when you just have brotherly love. Because that's what he's saying. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep. We need pastors. And for those who don't go to church here, pray for your church leaders. They need to be in a love feast with Jesus. Because they'll preach different and they'll live different. And we need this nation filled up with men and women of God who stand behind platforms every Sunday in a love feast with Jesus. So finally, the third time Jesus asked him, it irritates us. And he responds, gosh, only you know, Lord. But isn't it amazing? I love Jesus in his nurturing way, in his bold way. He says, Peter, you're going to get it. In fact, you're going to get it so well one day. This is kind of cutting through and adding the commentaries, if you will, by Mike. He says, you're going to get it so well one day that where you were once so fearful 50 days earlier, you're going to allow men to take you to a cross and crucify you upside down. That's a man who fell in love with the love feast Christ. That's pretty good. That's how what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us all the time. And then last but not least, and I'm just picking out three simple words that the definitions are amazing, that I hope that the Holy Spirit will spur you and inspire you and activate you to and give you revelation. He has countless of billions, trillions of revelations he wants to pour out upon us. And it's the one I want to point out is 1 Corinthians 4:15. I'm just going to read that real quick. It's one of my favorite scriptures because it's what our nation is really missing from Washington, D.C. on down. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Goes on and talks about Timothy, of how he's his faithful son and everything. A couple of things I want to point out. Some of your Bibles may say you may have 10,000 teachers. How many of you, except those that may have been on leadership meeting with me and you've heard me say what the word instructors mean. Tell me what you think the definition of instructor would be. Anybody want to take a shot at it? When you look up the original meaning of it, what it means is boy ruler. Isn't that amazing? Boy ruler. In other words, what Paul is saying, you may have 10,000 boy rulers over your life, but yet you do not have many fathers. See, when I read that scripture, it makes me go to Isaiah 3. And when you read the word should take you into different levels of intercession. Listen to what it says is the judgment against Judah. And I believe this is what's in our land right now. You can find this in Isaiah 3, 2 through 7. So when I started getting that revelation 10 to 15 years ago, when I was reading a book and reading a commentary and then digging into that word, I would always I love Isaiah, but it says this in Isaiah 3, 2 through 7. All their heroes and soldiers, judges and prophets, fortune tellers and elders, army officers and high officials, advisors, skilled craftsmen, and astrologers. These sound like real successful people, right? I will make boys their leaders and toddlers their rulers. People will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. Young people will insult their elders, and vulgar people will sneer at the honorable. In those days, a man will say to his brother, since you have a nice coat, you be our leader. Take charge of this heap of ruins. But he'll reply, no, I can't help, for I don't have any extra food or clothes. Don't put me in charge. When I read that, we're putting people in office in Washington, D.C., that are boy rulers. They got nice suits, just like that scripture says. And what this nation needs is fathers. But what we see in the nation is an indictment in the church. What we see in the nation in the area of sin started in the church. Anytime what you see in the nation or you see in the news, it's because it's in the church. God judges the house first, brings discipline to the house first. The reason we see it in Washington, D.C. is so evident is because we got a bunch of boy rulers in leadership in church. You see, you think about boy rulers, they're immature, and they can't call people into their destiny. Now, again, this is gender too, it's talking about female. We need mothers and fathers in the Lord. You see, a mother and a father in the Lord go, don't do that. And here's why. And they're not afraid to call you into your destiny. I don't know. I love the epistles of Paul, especially when you get this revelation. He was a true spiritual dad. And he would speak to the church of Corinth, how dare you let a man, a son sleep with his dad's wife. You think of all the things he corrected and spoke into. I believe he was the greatest Christian in a lot of ways. We need the Pauls and Peters and James and John of our time. We need to not accept boy rulers in our own family. That doesn't mean to go home and rebuke your husband or anything in that nature. It means to pray for him and to pray for yourself to be a spiritual mom. David was a spiritual giant, in my opinion, at the age of 12 years old. He was more spiritual father than Saul was at whatever Saul was age-wise at that time. There's no age limit on it. It's spiritual maturity. And we need to not settle for anything. Praying as over our leaders in the United States, praying over the leaders of churches. Don't expose their nakedness. I have nakedness. Pray for my immaturities. When you see the nakedness over leaders or different things, don't point it out. Don't gossip about it. Pray. Speak the word over their shortness and their shortcomings. And it'll be amazing what will happen. We need men in Washington, D.C. and women who the suits that they carry and they wear, that there's a spiritual mother and father beating inside that suit. That they're willing, because you see, here's what another, and I'll close in this. Boy rulers only think of themselves, and they only think for the instant gratification. What's going on in Washington, D.C.? We're passing laws and rules that will affect generations to come. Spiritual mothers and fathers, they make decisions that they'll never see the fruit of it, but it'll help bless to the third and fourth generation. We need this epidemic in this nation, starts in the church, to stop. And it stops when you and I both look in the mirror and go, you know, it's time that I become a spiritual mother and father. From Dominique in his age, to Jennifer, she looks very young, to all of us in all the different ages that we are. It stops when we look. Yeah, you look young too, Jason. I'll prophesy to those dry bones. Just kidding, brother. Just kidding. Having a little fun. That's that boy ruler coming out of me every now and then. So pray for it. Yeah, you got to have fun. Exactly. Got to have fun. And so I encourage us. We stop it because we look in the mirror and we go, I will not tolerate being a boy or girl ruler. Boy and girl rulers, they're on the junior high on the playground. They want to be liked by everybody. Spiritual moms and dads will upset people. Let me tell you how you can see the epidemic that's facing, just killing the Church of America. When there's a true spiritual mother or father that tries to speak into our life as a church pastor, you'll find out if you really want a boy or girl ruler in your life or a true spiritual mother and father. Because what will happen? You'll leave that church because a spiritual mom and dad tried to call you into your destiny. And what you're really saying by your fruit and your actions, I want a boy ruler looking out for my life. And for some of us, and that's not any of you people here, I'm sure you all go to great churches. We have a lot of people sitting in a lot of large churches all across this nation, tolerating and being satisfied to sit under boy ruler leadership. That says something about them, not the leader. It says something about them. For me, I've always wanted to walk in a destiny that truly would change nations. The only way you can do that is to have spiritual mothers and fathers in your life. I assure you, my wife can attest, I've had some very strong spiritual mothers and fathers in my life, and I wouldn't want it any other way. They have to let me know about my arrogance. They have let me know about different things. They did it in great love, but they did it with great boldness. If you really want to walk in kingdom destiny, you will look and want that and not boy rulership. I share all that. Those three little words, incredible meanings and definitions that I truly believe none of you knew and I didn't know until I started digging into the scripture. The richness of the word of God is unlimited. To the degree of your hunger is to the degree of your riches that you're going to get out of it. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do repent of how we want boy rulership so much in our life. We look for the flattering speech and the good suit. But Lord, we need some sustenance in people's lives who speak into our life, and we want the sustenance of you in our life. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and make every one of us spiritual moms and dads. We know it's a process, Lord, but if we're at a 1 today, tonight, let us go to a 2 tomorrow. If we're at a 4, let us go to a 5. Until we've made it to that point that we can truly call spiritual sons and daughters into their destiny, let us go to that next level, calling grandkids, spiritual grandkids, into their destiny. When I look at Paul's life, the Silases, the Timothys, the others that he had, that he called into their destiny because he was willing to be a spiritual dad and say the hard things. Help us be those that speak truth and love like we saw in Paul and like we saw in Jesus. And for those spiritual moms and dads that lack maturity like I have at times and I said things too harsh, Lord, we speak blessings over them. We receive our healing tonight, but we go forward now to being those men and women of God of destiny. And Holy Spirit, would you awaken our hearts and lives up to hunger for the Word of God? There's trillions of dollars worth, if we could put it in dollars, of the revelation that's in that Word. But yet many of us live in poverty because we're not digging for the trillions of revelation in it. So Lord, we love you. We give you praise. I speak your blessings over these precious men and women of God, their families, their churches, their businesses, their families. I pray that you'd bless them spiritually, 100-fold increase. I pray that you'd bless them physically, 100-fold increase of everybody being healed. I speak that same thing over them emotionally and mentally, and I speak it over them financially, Lord, for the glory and honor of our King Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Bless you. Give somebody a hug and shout them down, and we'll see you Sunday.